Thank you. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. Yes, I'm from the East Coast, and so there's a three-hour difference. So in the East Coast, it's midnight. And I remember we had a retreat years ago, and it was with Sotlin and Kairos. And, I preached, and ministry time started, and there was about 80 people lined up to be ministered to. And I think it was like 11 o'clock it started, and then I was just praying for people, praying for one by one. And then it became midnight, then 1 o'clock, and then all the pastors left. I didn't see them anymore. I'm all alone, ministering. And there's still like 50 people left, and then 40 people, and 30. And I was getting really tired because it was like 2 in the morning, right? And East Coast time was 5 in the morning. And, when you are that tired, when I train my people in the prophetic ministry, I tell them, don't prophesy. Because when you're really tired, you don't see clearly and you don't hear clearly. And I remember toward the end, right? I couldn't, that was one of the first time that I couldn't do it. I was just so tired. But toward the end, I start to see weird things. Like, I'm praying for somebody. I see a pillow, and I see a bed, And I think God wants you to go to bed, And so, but it was a wonderful time, and I'm really glad to be here. You are, this is an AMI family, and one of my favorite, speaking engagement is with the other AMI churches, because we're a spiritual family. Say to your neighbor, you're my spiritual family. What? Amen. Amen. What? And, the theme is breakthrough. I just found out about the thing. Thank you. I probably missed the email, right? The theme is breakthrough. And so what I'm going to talk about is breakthrough, first two message within, right? And then the next two message will be breakthrough on the outside, right? And this is very important. You have to really have a breakthrough in your heart, in the inner person. That's very important. The Lord cares about what's going on in the inside. He says he doesn't care about what's happening on the outside of the cup, but what's going on the inside of the cup. Okay? So if you don't encounter the love of God, you can't really minister love of God to other people. Okay? You can't give what you don't have. Okay? And so that's why it's important to have that breakthrough on the inside, the inner person first. If you don't have love, you can't give other people love. If you don't have peace, you can't give somebody else peace. You could fake it. You go, on the outside, you look like you have peace, and I give you peace. And that person's not going to feel any peace. Right? You could have, if you don't have worship in your heart, you could be a worship leader. And you could play that guitar really well. You could sing really well. Technically, you're perfect. And you worship. But if you don't have the worship heart, it's not going to affect the people. On the outside, oh, that was great music. Right? That singing was great. That beat was wonderful. But there's no transformation that happens through worship. Right? If you don't have joy, you could fake joy. But if you don't have the fruit of the Holy Spirit, joy, you can't give somebody else joy. And so that's what I'm going to focus on, breakthrough. The theme is breakthrough. And so so first message, what I want to focus on is transforming your mind, okay? Breakthrough in your thoughts. That's the first message. Breakthrough in your thoughts. So the passage is Romans chapter 12, verse 2. Romans chapter 12, verse 2. It says, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Okay? When there's a renewed mind, you will know the Lord. You will know that God is good. Okay? He's not you know, if you didn't have a good relationship with your biological father, that's how you'll see, if your dad, biological dad was demanding, you'll see God as demanding. But if you have, and that's the old mind, but if your mind is renewed, it says you will see that God is good and that his will is good, pleasing, and perfect. Right? And then next passage, Romans chapter 8, verse 5 to 6. It says, those who live according to the sinful nature have their mind set on what that nature desires. But those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their minds set on what the Spirit desires. The mind of sinful man is death, but the mind controlled by the Spirit that is renewed, okay? That life, there's life and peace. Right? A renewed mind is controlled by the Spirit, and there's life and peace. If it's the old mind, there's death. But the renewed mind that's connected to the Spirit, there's life and peace. Amen? Okay, let's pray. If you could just pray, you know, just ask the Lord to search my heart, oh God. Search my heart and see if there's anything that you're not pleased with. And just come in humility. Don't come in insecurity. Moses was insecure when God called him, but come in humility. Okay, that's different. Come in humility, knowing that God is greater than you. God's all-knowing, he's all-powerful, and you need his help. And he is good. And he wants to transform you. Ask the Lord, transform the inner person, Lord. And if you could also pray for, because what I want to focus on is inside, as God works in you, you're able to help somebody else. And you're not using ministry to fill a need. You minister because you encountered the love of God. And you want to share that love with somebody else. You know, you don't come up on the platform ministering so that you get people's applause, recognition, fill a need, a hole. But what you minister, because that hole is filled by the love of God. You understand that he accepts you. He loves you. And through that, you are able to minister to others. So pray for somebody else in love. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, we want to, you know, when we pray to God, we want God to change our circumstances. Is that better? Can I have a stand then? We want God to take away, you know, our problems, you know, our sickness, you know, take care of our conflicts. We want God to change our finance, you know, change our body, our family. God, change my dad, my mom, my sister, change this church member. But God is more interested in changing our mind. Say that to your neighbor. God is interested in changing your mind. Right? Why? Life changes when your thoughts change. Right? Life changes when your thoughts change. Your thoughts shape your life. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23 says, it talks about everything that you do flows from what's inside of you. Okay? If there's thoughts of bitterness, then bitterness is in your life. If thoughts of hopelessness, then your life will reflect hopelessness. If offense, if there's just offense that you hold, all you're going to see is offense. You know, somebody will say hi and you get offended, you know, if you have offense in your heart. But if there's good thoughts, life will be filled with goodness. Your belief shapes your life. Right? If it's based on lies, your life will be shaped by lies. Many are indoctrinated not by the truth of God's words, but by hurt, rejection, shame, accusation, condemnation. Here's the word of God, right? That says there's no condemnation. That's for those who are in Christ Jesus. That's truth, right? But when you're not holding onto the truth, you're not, your mind is not renewed by that truth, but instead lies, your life will be shaped by those lies. You know, and years later you'll see that those lies are controlling your life. Your mind is the battleground for sin. The things that tempt you start from your thought. Money doesn't tempt you, right? The Bible says, you know, when, if I took out $100 cash, it's not that cash that's tempting you, okay? The Bible says the love of money, something that's going on inside that's making that money bad. It's not the money itself. If healthy thoughts, okay, if you have healthy thoughts concerning money, you can manage money and possession. If there's unhealthy thoughts concerning money, then your life will be miserable. You'll go into bondage, okay? And there'll be brokenness. If I manage my mind, I will manage my life. Okay, say that to your neighbor. Okay, Romans chapter 7. Okay, Romans chapter 7, verse 22 to 23. Okay, don't get that backwards. Romans chapter 7, verse 22 to 23. This is Apostle Paul saying, "For in my inner being I delight in God's law. But I see another law at work in me, waging war against the law of my mind and making me a prisoner of the law of sin at work within me." The Bible says there's a waging war in your mind. It's a battle that you can't get away from. It's a battle that we face sometimes 24 hours a day. It is an invisible battle. It is sometimes very intense. It's unrelenting. It is a vicious battle. It is a battle of your mind. And the territory of your mind cannot be given up. Whatever gets your mind gets you. Whatever gets your attention gets you. It is a battle for your soul. Almost every battle with sin begins in your mind. Right? See, I want to teach on this, what I call agreement. You know, you give power to anything that you agree with. Okay? If you agree with a lie, that lie has power over your life. Okay? Adam and Eve, when they were agreeing with God, you know, you are my creation. Yes, God. I created you in my image. Yes, God. You know, and God said, you know, don't eat from that tree. Yes, God. But what happened? The serpent came into the garden. The devil came into the garden. And for the first time, they start not agree with God anymore, but start to agree with the devil. Did God really say? And they go, maybe God doesn't know everything. And start to disagree with God and agree with God, with the devil. And what happened was, then the devil had power over Adam and Eve. Okay? And what happened, I believe, during that time was, you know, God gave man and woman authority, human being authority, on earth. Right? And so in that agreement, the man had authority on earth, so much authority that Adam could name all the animals. Right? You know, he was the one who named the animals. Like my daughter, I have authority over my daughter. So I have the right to name them. Right? I have the right to name them. You know, somebody in church said, I don't like that name. I don't care. You know, I have the authority. And so what happened was when Adam agreed with the devil had power now, his power. The authority God gave to man, the devil took. And we see this in the second Adam, in Christ. The Bible calls Jesus the second Adam. And he was tempted in the wilderness as Adam was tempted in the garden for 40 days. And the devil comes to him, and the devil asks Jesus to agree with him. This is pretty much what the devil's asking Jesus. But what did Jesus do? Adam failed, in the garden, Jesus won. He says, I don't care what you said. I don't agree with you. Okay? I'm not going to agree with you. And one of the temptations, okay, that the devil gives to Jesus is this. I will give you all authority, for it has been given to me, and I'll give it to anyone I want to if you worship me. Right? And so what happened was, God gave Adam the authority, but because Adam agreed with the devil, he stole that authority. Right? He says, it was given to me. God didn't give him that authority. He stole it from Adam. And why was he able to steal it? Because Adam agreed with the devil. To win the battle of the mind, you need to know that you can choose your thoughts. This is very important. You can choose your thought. God gave you this important gift, free will. You can choose your thought. You need to know that you can control your thoughts. Others can't control your thoughts. The devil doesn't control. He can infiltrate. He could tempt. He could plant something in your mind, but he cannot control your thought. You have power over your thought. Okay, say that to your neighbor. Okay? You can choose to resist and dismiss the lies from your mind. You can choose your attitude. You can choose to believe in a small God or a big God. You can choose to walk in faith, or you can choose rebellion. Okay? God gave you this wonderful gift of free will. So Colossians 3, verse 2 says, set your mind on the things which are above. Okay? Set your mind on things that's above and not on earthly things. And so what are some of the things that we need to choose to renew our mind with? Okay? Some of the good things in Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. It says, finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, what does it say? Think about those things. Think about those things. You see, you cannot prevent negative thoughts from knocking at your door, but you can control whether or not you're going to open the door or allow them to come in. You can choose your thought. You say, I'm bitter. I couldn't help it. I'm critical. Oh, I can't help it. I'm just a critical person. No. The Bible says you can choose your thought. Okay? 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5 says we should cast down, if we should cast down every wrong imagination and take into captivity every wrong thought. Okay? We demolish argument and every pretension that sets itself up against knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. Right? So, the old thoughts, right, is pretend that you're watching TV. Right? Nowadays, when we watch TV, do you ask yourself, what is it communicating to you? Right? When I go on mission, sometimes I go for a long time, and I'll come back, and I don't get to watch TV. And so one time I was going for 6 months to Kenya. And then I came back to America and I turned on the TV. I couldn't even watch the commercial. Because when I'm here, I get so desensitized by, what the message is that it doesn't bother me anymore. But when you go away and you don't watch TV and you come back to it, it will bother you. I can't believe the messenger. And some of the shows, TV shows, the commercials, some is very anti-God, it's demeaning, it's obscene, it's worldly, it's destructive, but you gotta remember, you have the power to what? Change the channel. Right? You have the
power to change the channel. And we have that power with our thought. There are thoughts that play in our mind due to negative experience. Maybe somebody rejected you. You know, you're bored. You know, there's difficult circumstances in your life. And you keep playing that negativity, the criticalness, the condemnation over the hurt, the rejection, over and over again. You're just like watching a TV. You don't care. What we do with our thoughts is, you know, this old thoughts are constantly playing on this channel. And what do? You get a chair, a nice couch, and you sit there and get popcorn, and you just watch it. No. Change the channel. Change the channel. So what are the choices? What other channels can we pick? There are other channels, What other channels can we pick? What are the choices you need to make on a daily basis to renew your thought? Okay? Number one, feed your mind with truth. Say that to your neighbor. You know, we all know the importance of healthy, nutritious meal. Okay? And our mind is similar. You need to feed your mind with truth. Okay? If you feed your mind with lies, condemnation, shame, bitterness, hatred, and all those things, okay, you're just eating, sugar, Coke, drinking Coke, and Doritos, bags of Doritos, and it's not healthy. That's what I'm trying to say, okay? It's hard to think this late. You need to feed your mind with truth, not poisonous lies. The truth, the Bible says, will set you free. Right? You need the best, to make a good decision, you need good information. You need best information to live the best life. You need the best truth to live the best life. Right? Matthew chapter 4, verse 4 says, Jesus answered, "It is written." This is how he defeated the devil's temptation. "Man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God." Right? It's something that you need to eat every day. And that's scripture. And scripture is good. It's healthy. It's truth. Right? You need to feed your mind with truth every day. What happens to your body when you don't eat one day? What happens physically? You become weak. Some of you get angry very easily. You get hopeless. You just don't want to do anything. And you go, you're in pain, constant pain. I heard the healthiest habit of eating is not just, a couple big meals, but eat little constantly. Nibble throughout the day. Each day, constantly nibble on the truth. In Scripture, did you know that there's 7,000 promises in the Bible? There's 7,000 promises in the Bible. Huh? And so you need to, the Scripture, you need to read, you need to study, you need to learn, you need to memorize and think about God's promises. Study it as a personal love letter from the Lord. When I was in Kenya for 6 months, Heejong, we weren't married yet, but we were kind of praying about, I was pursuing her. She didn't know I was praying about her. I was pursuing her, and she wrote a letter to me, when I was in Kenya. And when I got that letter, I was so happy. I was overjoyed. And it was like one little page, It wasn't too much, one little page. And then she goes, "Hi, Sam." I go, "What does she mean by hi, Sam?" how are you doing? I analyzed every word, And I read it over and over and over again, trying to find deep thoughts from that one letter. She was just saying, "Hi," And why? Because, because Because to me, it was like a very special letter. It was like a love letter, even though she didn't know that yet. It was a love letter to me. And I read it over and over. I memorized it. Huh? And it helped, you know, it made me be very joyful in Kenya because of that letter. And the scripture that you have is a love letter from the Lord to you. Huh? So you need to pray over it. You need to ponder it. You need to preserve it. You need to practice it. You need to proclaim it. Huh? Amen? You know, David, I believe, you know, a lot of scholars believe he wrote Psalm 119. He says, I rise before dawn and cry for help. I have put my hope in your word. In 119, verse 97, he says, oh, how I love your law. I meditate on it all day long. Psalm 16, David wrote, verse 7, I will praise the Lord who counsels me. Even at night, my heart instructs me. Huh? What does he say? David starts early morning with hope to God's word. He thinks about it all day long. And even at night, it instructs him. Huh? You know, like prayer, you know, in the Korean church, first generation church, they all have morning prayer meeting. They said, that's biblical. You know why? Because Jesus prayed in the morning. That's true. But if you read the gospel, he prayed in the afternoon. He prayed at night. He prayed all night. He prayed all day. Right? And so you can't just, you got to look at his prayer life. Right? He prayed all day. Right? And so same thing with scripture. You need to meditate on it. Daily. Daily. You got to meditate on the truth to renew your mind. Right? If you only know John 3:16, right? You're in trouble, okay? If that's the only one. But when you have all this scripture in your heart, all this truth, you know, the devil could come to you and tempt you. I know the truth. That's a lie. You could discern it now. When you don't know the truth, you don't know, you know, God doesn't love me. Nah, he doesn't care about me. You don't know scripture, that's why. You're not embracing the truth of scripture. Yeah? Okay, and then number two, choose to free your mind from destructive thought. There's destructive thoughts that come, and you don't care. You know, there's bitterness. You think it's hurting. Okay, I'm going to be bitter because... Okay, say I'm bitter toward Pastor Peter. I'm going to be bitter to you. Is it hurting you? Oh, he doesn't even know, right? He doesn't care. Right? Who is it hurting? You, okay? It's hurting you. If you lack faith, right? It's hurting you. It will hurt you first. And the devil wants you to do this. He wants to hurt you. Because once you get hurt, then you're going to start hurting other people. Right? Your mind needs to be liberated. Right? You know, some people who study about demons, they go, oh, you need to know the name of the demon to be liberated. That's not that big of a deal. Right? Your mind needs to be liberated. You know, I was trained in a lot of deliverance ministry, you know, and what I found out is the greatest battle, spiritual battle, it happens in your mind. Right here. That's where the greatest battle is. That's why it says you need to renew your mind, then you will see the truth. You will know God's will. You could discern. There are certain thoughts that make you a prisoner in your mind. Those thoughts have become a stronghold and a bondage to your life. What's some of the source of destructive thought? It's not just, I'm going to talk about a few of them. One is your old nature, your the Bible calls flesh, the sinful nature, the old nature. You know, like pride, self-righteousness, selfishness, bitterness, unforgiveness. If you tend to blame a lot of people, you know what? You're not going to discern the truth. You're going to live in lies. And you're going to constantly be in bondage. Did you ever see somebody who blames, oh, it's this pastor's fault. Oh, it's this leader's fault. It's this church. And blame, blame, blame. Did you ever see somebody who blames a lot of people live in freedom? No, they're in bondage. Did you ever see a bitter person set free? No, the bondage becomes stronger the greater the bitter thoughts. Yeah. And what those things, okay, that's why you can't blame the devil all the time. Okay? You have this sinful nature. The Bible says all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And there's this flesh, this old nature. And so what is it? The reason we are punished for our sin is because you chose that bitterness. You're saying that's the truth. That's shame. You go, that's the truth. And so what happens is, and this is where the devil comes in. What you're doing is when you agree with lies, it opens the door to the devil. Say condemnation. Pretend physically it's like 80 pounds. Oh, you know, and you go, this condemnation is true. What happens? You open the door, and the devil comes in, and he adds to that 80 pounds and make it 800 pounds. But you open the door to the devil. You see, if you don't agree with him, he can't come in. Did you guys hear what I said? If you don't agree with the devil, he can't come into your life. If you start to agree with the lies, what you're saying, door is open, devil, come into my house. Come into this room. This is your room. You can do whatever you want with it. And the source of destructive thought, again, this is because of the devil, too. But again, you can't blame him. You are the one who invited him in. And the Bible, what the Bible says, the devil is the father of lies. You see, God gives us thoughts that inspire us. The devil gives us thoughts that will tempt you. We think the battle is with flesh and blood. What does the Bible say? Your battle is not against flesh and blood. All right? So what it's saying is your battle is not with your pastor. Your battle is not with your church members. They're flesh and blood. We're brothers and sisters in Christ. Say that to your neighbor. Yeah, well, if it's a woman, say, you're my sister, you know. Anyway. So your battle is not with your dad. Your battle is not with your mom. It's not your battle is not with your sibling. Your battle is not with flesh and blood. Okay? You only have, as a Christian, if you're a Christian, you have one enemy. And who's that? The devil. Okay? The devil. Your dad's not the enemy. Your mom's not the enemy. The devil's your enemy. And what happens is a lot of the conflict in relationship. There's conflict, and it gets worse because you're losing the battle of the mind. You know, I have seen committed and loving relationship turn sour within days. Not because the offense was so terrible, but because they lost the battle of the mind. If you're married, you know, like say you were insensitive, you know, the husband was insensitive. It wasn't that, you know, maybe they've just forgot something, all right? you know, forgot something. And the husband goes to work, the wife goes to work, and the wife lost the battle of the mind. Okay? And then what happened? Starts to play the story. Right? Okay? Oh, you know, yeah, he was insensitive today, but he was insensitive yesterday too. Like 2 years ago, I remember that, you know, what he did, you know. And I remember 10 years ago that, and just start getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And the husband, you know, it wasn't that big deal, you know, and he thinks everything's okay, but then they come home. Husband opens the door. Hi, honey. And she just runs into her room, locks the door. Husband goes, you know, knock on the door. She throws something at the door. Don't you ever come in here. What happened? They lost the, she lost the battle of the mind. You know, a lot of church split. What happened? Little thing. Just little thing. Like, you know, they didn't agree for, you know, they're buying the carpet for the church. And they didn't agree on the color. Right? But because of that disagreement, they start to lose the battle of the mind. And then 6 months later, there's a division in the church. And it's not, they're not even talking about the, this, about the, this person is this, this person. And they lost the battle of the mind. That's why there's a church split. You know, another source of destructive thought is because of the worldly values. Many Christians are influenced not by kingdom culture, but by worldly culture. 1 John chapter 2, verse 15 to 17. It says, do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, love of the Father is not in them. For everything in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life comes not from the Father, but from the world. The world and its desire passes away, but whoever does the will of God lives forever. It says, lust of the flesh, lust of the eye, the pride of life. Worldly philosophy that says to live for yourself, live for pleasure. You're a winner if you have more possession, material things. Will fill our thought with worldly pleasures, passion, possession, and position. And if you seek after those things, okay, it will destroy your thoughts. And finally, another source of destructive thought is because of past hurt and past issues. You know? And I want to say this, nobody's immune to rejection. We all got hurt here. In this room, everybody got hurt. Okay? We all got hurt. But those who lose the battle of the mind, the hurt continues to grow. They start to hurt other people around them. And there are more and more excuses to hold on to past pain. Make excuses for poor choices that you make today for something that happened 10 years ago. The prison becomes tighter, stronger, and darker. You know, I remember somebody, like 10 years ago, somebody came to me and said, you know, this guy hurt me. And it was, you know, I try to say, forgive him. He goes, no, I'm not going to forgive him. 10 years later, I saw him. Now he blames him for everything, you know, global warming, you know, just... I couldn't believe, he just, and you know what was, that's destroying his life. And I go to that guy, did you know that he hates you? And that guy, I don't hate him, what's going on? Well, he lost the battle of the mind. And so he got deeper and deeper in bondage. And the prison door got tighter and tighter. You know, you can know teaching on forgiveness, about freedom, deliverance, and healing, and inner healing. But you can't, if you can't win the battle of the mind, you will lose the battle of forgiveness, freedom, deliverance, and healing. Finally, you need to demolish stronghold of your mind. Say that to your neighbor. Demolish the stronghold of your mind. Okay, I'm going to repeat this passage. Let's see again. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3 to 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3 to 5. It says, "For though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapon we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish stronghold." Okay? It says, "We demolish argument and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ." Okay, when dealing with our mind, the Bible gives this battle image. The context, it's a battle image. We're waging war, weapons we fight with, divine power, demolishing stronghold, demolishing argument and pretension that set itself against God. Take captive all the wrong thought. It talks about obedience. This is all about soldiers and battle image here. Okay? And so when Israel came out of Egypt, the Israelites were given this divine power, but they didn't understand this. God told them that you're going to take over the land of Canaan. So they had this divine power to conquer the land of Canaan. There was this divine power. What does that mean? When there's divine power, you can't lose. Okay? Do you guys understand what I'm saying? There was this divine power to take the land of Canaan, the promised land. But they got to the promised land, and they saw that the cities were very strong, and the people were very big. Okay? That's what they saw. And so instead of having this faith that God gave me this divine power to conquer this land, they didn't think that way. No. They said, "We're grasshoppers. They're giants. And they will eat us up." And you know what they said? "We're not going to go into the land. We can't defeat them." And so what happened to the first generation of Israelites that came out of Egypt? They were stuck in the wilderness for 40 years until they died out in the wilderness. Right? The battle for our mind is a holy war. Right? It's a holy war. It says, and God gives us divine power. Why would he say, "We demolish argument and every pretension"? You know, when God called Israelite to go, you know, the city of Jericho, what did he say? "Destroy everything. Everything." And it's the same language with our battle with the mind. It says, "We demolish argument and every pretension that sets itself against the knowledge of God. And we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ." Like the Israelites, the strongholds seem impossible to defeat. You know, your thoughts, you go, "Well, I can't defeat it." No, that's what the Israelites said when they saw the land of Canaan. They didn't realize that they had divine power to overcome. And you have divine power to overcome so that you will have renewed thoughts. The lie seems more powerful than the truth. But you gotta say, no. You know, we have this wrong image of this divine power that's within us because of what Christ has done for us on the cross. Some of us think devil, right? 50% evil. God, 50% good. That's not biblical. It's not 50-50. What? To me, you know, God is infinitely more powerful than the devil. Hello? What? You know, to me, the devil is like, you know, I went to Nepal 5 times. There's this town in Lomantang, in Upper Mustang, a small village. There's no electricity, very poor, weak town. That's how I see the devil and his power. And God's power is like the United States military. But that's how I see it. What? They only need to send one missile. One tank to destroy and demolish that town up in the mountain in Nepal. What? They just, United States just need to push a button to destroy that town. That's who you are in Christ Jesus. It says, the power of the Holy Spirit will come upon you if you put your faith in Jesus. It says, and then you will be my witness in Jerusalem. He doesn't go, that's it. Oh, San Diego. No. You'll be my witness in Jerusalem. Meaning, I believe Jerusalem is like where you are right now, including the inner person, your relationship in your family, your relationship in your church, in your community, then it goes to Judea. Then it says Samaria, but God's power, don't stop there. You could go to the ends of the earth. But what do? We don't put our trust and faith in that power that God gives us. We go, I will save the world. I will go to China and change it. My gift, the way I play guitar, gonna make everybody cry and transform everybody. No, it says, power of the Holy Spirit will come upon you. You put your faith in God. You put your trust in Him. You love Him. What's the greatest commandment? That God loves you? Is that the greatest commandment? No, the greatest commandment is, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And it's not because God's up there, I need glory, I can't function. Somebody applaud me, or I can't function. That's not God. He doesn't need your praise and worship. There are angels, worshiping night and day up in heaven. God is secure. He's not insecure. I've known pastors and leaders, very insecure. Worship me, applaud me, tell me I did good, Our God is not insecure. But what happens is, when you love Him, you learn how to depend on Him. You learn how to trust Him. And that's what happens when you trust Him. You get this, there's this intimacy and connection with the Lord. And His life starts to flow through you. Huh? And then He starts to give you the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Huh? What we try to do is, it's something that God gives to you when you love Him. It just happens. See, Christian life is not all empty. Okay, I'm going to love you, but I don't really want to, this is so hard loving you. Okay, I'll try. Okay, I love you. Okay. I want to go home, That's not Christian love. Christian love is you're so connected to the Lord, His life starts to flow through you. There's so much life in God as you get closer to Him. There's more life in you. There's so much life in God. He just has to speak. Animals. Did you read Genesis? Light. Right? Plants. It's because there's so much life in him. His very word brings life. But you know, when he created you, he didn't go, Peter, Jessica. No, he loved you so much. He created you. He says he created you in his image. And he breathed. He says he reached down to the dirt. And he got his hand dirty. He molded you. And then he draw near to you. And he breathed his life, his breath of life into you. That's how much he loves you. That makes me love God. And as I love him, I'm connected to him. And so his life flows through me. And that's how I can love you. How I can love San Diego. You know, Jesus was the model that we're supposed to follow. You know, he incarnated. So he was 100% man and 100% God. But he did ministry as a man. But there's so much life in him, you know. People just touch him. There was this lady. If I just touch him, I'll get healed. What? And she touched the cloak, and she got instantly healed. What did Jesus say? There's so much life in Jesus. He goes, yeah, something just leaked out. He goes, hey, there's so many people. What do you miss? I know something leaked out. Power leaked out. And that's how we're supposed to live a Christian life. There's so much love of God. You know, because love just leaks out. And, oh, I got hit with God's love. You know, all the people around you. There's the fruit of the Holy Spirit, peace. And you come in and you change the atmosphere in the room. You know, there's the spiritual, there's, you know, atmosphere. You know, there's some people, when I, you know, they have terrible atmosphere around them. You know? Like, when my wife is angry, right? She will be up in the bedroom. I'll come into the house. I close. I feel the atmosphere. Okay, she's angry. So I go out. You know? I can just feel it. And there's some, you know, some people, there's so much life flowing out of them. You just come in and strangers come. I feel peace. I feel peace. I feel happy. You know, I feel like I could be myself. And that's Christian life. You align yourself to God. And when you align, see, God is, we're supposed to create heaven on earth. That's what our prayer is supposed to be. Heaven on earth. We align ourselves with God so that he pour his life over us and it flows out into the atmosphere. You know, as a Christian, if you're going, you know, life is so hopeless. You know, I don't want to worship. You know, love. Oh, come on, I don't want to love. You know what? You didn't align yourself to God, and that's not what a Christian life is. It flows out of you. I'm giving you a totally different message. I'm sorry. And yeah, you know, so God, to align yourself, God is telling us that we need to take the battle of the mind seriously. He's teaching us how you align with God. You got to fight this battle. You got to take it seriously. God is calling for complete victory. If you want complete victory, and if you believe this, God said, I'm going to help you. That's what God was telling the Israelites. Go. Just go. All they had to do, you know, here's the boundary. All they had to just go, That's it. But they go, no. You know, God, I don't know why God brought us out here. Let's go. You know, you know what they did? Let's go back to Egypt. God brought us out here to kill us. No. The old thought. No. I trust the Lord. He gave me divine power to overcome. And I believe in him. I'm going to love him. I'm going to obey him. When you do that, he will help you. He's going to help you. And when he helps you, you cannot lose. Take captive. Greek mean, in the Greek meaning is to conquer and to bring under control. You need to bring your mind under submission. Your thoughts often disobey you. Did you know that? That's why you go, my mind has a mind of its own, you know? It has a mind of its own. It wants to rebel. It wants to go another direction. So train your mind. We need to take our mind, make it obedient. We need to make our mind listen to the truth. The reason we are ineffective in life, we never learn how to fight and win the battle of the mind. In John chapter 5, you don't need to turn to it, there was a man in Jerusalem who had been crippled for 38 years. For 38 years, he's been crippled. And Jesus asked a strange question, right? He asked this crippled man, do you want to be made well? Right? You would think this guy goes, yes! Please! No! Okay, I'm ready! Okay, I want to be well. Okay, heal me, Jesus! Right? No, he doesn't do that. Right? He says, the man starts to list all the reasons why he isn't well. Right? He says, I'm all alone. You know, no one will help me. You know, others always let me down. Other people always seem to get ahead of me. I don't have a chance. That's what he said. And you know what? You know, if you took counseling, right, in seminary or something, you know, what they tell you, listen to the guy, okay? Let him vent. It's very important. Listen, right? But Jesus don't do that. And it wasn't because he doesn't lack compassion, right? You know, instead, he tells the man, get off the ground. take up your bed and walk. Be on your way. It wasn't lack of compassion. Jesus was challenging the man to change the channel. Let's move forward, not backward. Some of you, that's what you're doing with your mind. You know, highway. Major highway here? 5, okay? East Coast, I say, Turnpike. New Jersey Turnpike. But, you know, here, Highway 5. Can you imagine if you drive backward? Huh? It's dangerous, right? If you drive backward, 60 miles an hour, 65 miles an hour. It's dangerous. You could get killed. You'll kill other people. You'll destroy properties, right? Yeah. Bring fear to people. That's what you're doing with your mind. I'm driving backward, and I don't care. And I'm going to go fast as I want to. And that's what this man was doing. He's going backward. It's hopeless. His mind is going backwards. Nobody will help me. And what does Jesus say? Stop going backward. Let's go forward. Get up, take your mat, and go forward. Walk. Okay. Jesus was challenging the man to change the channel. Don't stay in self-pity, blame, hopelessness. Don't stay in the state of crippleness. Jesus was saying, agree with me, and you will walk. Amen. Family where I didn't know my dad, and if you know my family history, my dad didn't know his dad, and I believe my grandfather didn't know. You know, I don't even know the name of my grandfather because my dad never talked about it. I don't even know his name. And that's because my dad didn't want to know my dad. And, you know, that continued down the generational line. And it hurt a lot of people. I believe it was going on from generation to generation to generation to generation. Yeah. But what changes, first I became a Christian. And then I got married and I had a daughter. My first child, Anna. And when I saw my daughter, Anna, I said, it's going to change. This has to change. No more. The devil's not going to have my family. No more. I'm going to take back the territory that the enemy has stolen from my family, generation to generation to generation. And I proclaim to the heavenlies, my daughter, Anna, is going to know her dad. And she's going to know her dad loves her. And we're going to have a relationship. My daughter is going to know her dad. That started to change everything. That brought healing to my own issue with my own dad. I have a beautiful relationship with my daughters. Now my wife and I, we came from a broken family. My wife, her biological mother abandoned her when she was a little child. And me, two people who would, one abandonment and one don't know the dad, got married. And because of that, we just start to hurt each other when we first got married. Just hurt each other all the time. Because there's so much anger and rejection and shame and bitterness that was built up in our heart. And it was just all coming out when we got married. For many years, I stuffed that in and I tried to cover it up by doing ministry. I was a leader in the church and I tried to cover it up. But when I got married, I couldn't cover it up anymore. My wife couldn't cover it up either. And then we said, to each other. And I said, Hee-jung, you're not my enemy. And Hee-jung said, you're not my enemy. Let's fight the spiritual battle together. And we start to pray. And start fighting the good battle, and not the battle with flesh and blood. And now my wife and I, we have a marriage. I can honestly say, when we first got married, I go, my God, I made a mistake, I think I heard you wrong, what's going on? Now, I tell my wife, if you're not with me, I can't do ministry. I can't preach. And I give all the glory to the Lord. All the glory to the Lord. If you're in Christ, the old is gone, the new is here. But you have this choice. No, I feel better staying in the old. When you're angry and bitter and hopeless, I don't know. I guess you just feel better to stay in the old. This is where I should be. And God's saying, no, okay? That's not my plan for you. That's not why Jesus died for you. Did he just die so that you could barely make it into heaven? Is that it? You struggle your whole life? No. And you're barely making it to the finish line. That's my Christian life. You know what the Bible says? And I think 1 Corinthians 9 about the Christian race? Run as though you're going to win. Some of you go, Long as I finish, I could come last. No, he says, who runs? Who runs like that? Even like junior high track team, you should see these little kids. Okay, I'm gonna win. They don't go, I want to come last. Okay, nobody runs like that. That's what you're doing with Christianity. It says, run as though you're going to get the prize. And the beauty of a Christian race is we could all be number one if we have faith. And when you run to win back then, you know, during those races in the time of Jesus, as Hebrews chapter 12, it talks about everything that entangle you throw off. So those race, during those race, the runner, they ran naked. They didn't want anything to hinder them because they wanted to win this race. In Hebrews chapter 12, that's what it's saying. Run like that. Casting off everything that entangles you and run the race.